Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
We're going to talk a little bit tonight about generational wealth. We're going to talk about ways that, you know, normally we talk about stocks, we talk about wealth creation, but generational wealth is one huge part of wealth creation, right? Wealth continuation, I should say. Because the money that we're creating in stocks, real estate, business building, right? We have to make sure that that money continues. That's what, you know, people in, you know, especially people from impoverished backgrounds, people who, you know, first generation, you know, success stories like us, we don't understand, we don't kind of get that because that what didn't happen to us, right? Because nobody passed us down anything. So a lot of times we don't understand how to do it, right? So, and you know, I come from an impoverished background, right? So I come from a, you know, a situation that was, you know, in poverty. So nobody taught me about wealth. Nobody taught me about generational wealth because all we were trying to do is make it from day to day. Right, so we just had to put food on the table. We got to make it to the end of the week. We got to make it from check to check. When you're focused on that, you don't have time to think about generational wealth. A lot of us come from those kind of backgrounds. A lot of us come from those type of backgrounds where generational wealth is just an afterthought, right? Because, you know, that's something that nobody else focuses on. How you gonna focus on generational wealth when you can't make it, you know, day to day, right? But now some of us have the first time chance, you know, in our generational string, I should say, to start creating generational wealth, start building generational wealth, start making sure that we can pass this on to our kids, right? And it's not just, you know, a lot of people talk about this concept of generational wealth, but they don't ever tell you how to do it, right? Nobody ever tells you how to do it. They just say, oh, generational wealth this, generational wealth that. But nobody puts out a blueprint for you to actually achieve this. Nobody does that, right? You know nobody does. All everybody talks about generational wealth because it's a buzzword. Right? It can get people, you can get likes. You can get people on your, you know, to like your post or whatever. Because a lot of people understand that it's important, but they don't know how to get from here to there, right? So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to lay out a blueprint, right? I'm going to lay out a blueprint for you guys, one that I'm personally following, you know, to execute the plan of generational wealth. Now, we talk about the concept, you know, the people in the mentorship program, the people that are in the Chestnut Checkers community. Well, our entire mindset is based on one thing, right? And everything else comes from that, right? And it's simple. It's the name of the room, the name of the group, Chestnut Checkers. And what does that mean? That means putting emphasis on strategy as opposed to tactics. That we put emphasis on long-term strategy and we throw away short-term tactics, right? Because we're trying to create wealth long-term, right? We're trying to position our pieces on the board so that we can have success 5, 10, 15 years from now, right? Because in chess, you guys know I used to play chess with my brother, right? But he was always a lot better than me, right? Now, at first he wasn't, I should say, but because we both learned on our own, right? Because we had, you know, my aunt used to let us play with this computer game. We were like, you know, I was like 12 and he was like 8. And, you know, back then it was no internet. So if you're on a computer, you just had to play whatever was installed. So we learned chess because we didn't have a father, anybody to teach us. Nobody in our family knew about chess. So me and my brother learned on that computer, right? So we just, you know, they wouldn't let you do certain moves. So you couldn't do it. And eventually you just figure out the moves. Then we moved on to playing on the board. Well, my brother ended up being sixth in the state in high school. He was one of the top ranked players in the state, right? And the reason why he was is because it was simple, right? And it became a point in time where we were about even to you know, and he took off, right? He was a lot better than me. And I just quit playing with him because he was just so much better than me. It just wasn't even fun. You know, he beat me like, you know, in the first 10 minutes. So it wasn't fun anymore. But what I noticed, the reason why he beat me, it was simple, right? We both understood chess. We both were smart. We both understood the strategies. But he would always beat me in one simple reason, because he always thought 10, 15 moves ahead. I was still thinking 5 moves ahead, which is, you know, I can beat a regular player, right? So a normal dude, I could murder him. But, and I used to beat everybody in my family, my cousins or whatever, but when it got to my brother, he would always win. Because it wasn't because he was smarter. It wasn't because he had better strategy. It wasn't because he knew chess better than me, but it was his ability to think 10, 15 moves ahead, and I'm stuck at 5. So he always won, right? So a lot of times, when you're able to plan out that far ahead, you're always gonna win, just like in my brother's case. Because if you plan out that far, when these things unfold, you already got a plan for them, right? And that's what we're gonna talk about tonight. We're gonna talk about how to lay out a blueprint for generational wealth, right? So, like we said before, is that we all, a lot of us, you know, I'm not stereotyping, not anything like that, but I'm just saying where I came from. Now, my father left when I was 3. So we didn't have a lot of money, man. My mom worked hard, you know, and she pulled us out of the projects, and eventually she ended up buying a house my freshman year in college, right? So she ended up buying a, you know, buying a house, right? So she moved from the projects to the house in about 15 years, which is pretty good, you know, with no education, nothing like that. She just worked her way out of it, you know, and she, but she didn't have, you know, because she worked so much, because she had to focus on providing for us because our father left, because she had to, you know, she had to work so hard, and she had to make sure we stayed out of trouble. Because remember, when you're a single mother, you have to, you can't teach your kids about this, that, and the other. If you got the first objective, I should say, is to keep them out of trouble, keep them off the streets, and keep them alive in most cases for Hispanic and blacks, right? You got to keep them alive, right? Because a lot of my cousins, a lot of my friends are gone. Right? People I grew up with in high school are gone, man. So her focus is on getting us, keeping us out of trouble, keeping us fed, getting us to school, and that's it, right? So that's her job. Her job's done. She did a great job. But now it's my turn, right? So she set me up with a base to build generational wealth. Now, for me, I started out with that, you know, started out like that. Now, I started out with, you know, in debt. I had to pay myself through college, whatever. But I started out alive. I started out with my mom showing me what hard work does. So I'm able to move forward. Right. So that's my turn. Right. So it's our turn. Right. It's now our turn in the string of people. Right. Everybody has to do their step. So it's our turn. Right. So what do we do? Right. So the first thing we got to do is we got to change our mindset, because when you come from that, you got to change your mindset first, because we don't know. You know, we don't know these things. So you got to go out and find information. You got to study. You got to make sure you understand money, because money is very, very misunderstood. Right. And that's the reason why a lot of athletes go broke, because they come from poverty. They don't understand how money works, right? And I'm gonna tell you two stories, right? And I'm gonna tell you why people don't know how much money's worth. Two stories. So I was playing basketball in Puerto Rico, 2006. I come home to Clarksville, Tennessee. As soon as I get home, there's a big basketball tournament, 3-on-3 basketball tournament. The prize is $1,500. So all three people, you get $500 each day, win the tournament. It's a weekend tournament, right? So my brother calls me and say, hey, man, you want to play in this tournament? You know, I just got back from Puerto Rico playing pro ball over there. So I was killing everybody. You know, I was on, you know, that was the best. I was at the peak. That was the best I've ever been. So I was like, man, I've been winning this easy money. Right? This is easy money, man. Now, nobody in Clarksville can stop me right now. So my brother called me. It was me and my brother. He's pretty good, too. And we had to get a third player. Right, we got another guy we know to play with us, right? So my brother made the mistake. He was working at a factory at the time. So he calls the people at some dudes at the factory, you know, and say, hey, man, it's this tournament, right? And them dudes actually ended up being pretty good. And I was like, man, what you tell them for, man? Man, now we got to play these three other dudes that was like stars in high school, right? So, oh, man. So, I mean, me and my brother are good, but we couldn't find another third good player. So we had a weak link. So we play in the tournament. And I, of course, we run, those are the dudes we play in the championship, right? They worked at a factory, you know, they made about $10 an hour, right? So we play these dudes and they barely beat us, right? So the church who ran the tournament comes out, gives each of these dudes a $500 check, you know, a big check. And actually it's real money, you know, the check is just for show, you know, you get the money later. So these dudes, the next day my brother calls me and say, man, none of these dudes showed up for work today, none of them. Right? They got that $500. They didn't show up to work the whole next week. They didn't even show up. So you give them $500, they don't show up the next week at work. That's one step forward, two steps back. And that's how we think about money, right? That's how we see money, right? People that come from poverty, we see money like that. People will get, their husband will get a promotion at work and they'll quit. To one step forward, two steps back. happens all the time. It's because we don't understand the value of money. We don't know what the money is. We can't even value it correctly, because $500, I don't care if you make $500 a week, you need to go to work the next week. Why not get that money and add it to what you have? Why not show up to work the next week? What's the point of that? It happens a lot. People do that a lot. You know, when tax returns come, people don't show up for work. You know, that's common. That's almost a cliche. The tax checks come out, people don't show up to work. And we know that's common. And that's because people don't understand the value of money. They get a little money, they can't properly judge the value, so they just think they're rich. And they don't go to work, they start making decisions based on that. They start buying cars they can't afford. It's because of the mindset of money. Now, it's a simple way that I figured out what the value of money is. Now, somebody else may have already figured this out. This is how I see it, right? And I think everybody should see money like this. Now, you guys know I sold a company about 2 years ago, right? We sold it for right at $2 million. You know, it was hard to judge it because some of it was stock, some of it was stock over time, some of it was cash, some of it was cash and delivery in the future. So it's hard to say. So we got a lot of that up front, right? So it was new. You know, like I said, it was big news. It went out, it was, you know, because it was in cryptocurrency, and it was, you know, it was news because it was a website, and, you know, it was kind of big news back then. So my family calls me, my friends call me. Mondo, man, you gonna quit? You gonna retire? You know, you got that money now. I mean, you can go ahead and retire, man. Buy your mama a house. I'm like, what? They don't understand the value of money, right? I didn't get this much. But let's say, you know, the value of money. And I'm gonna tell you this: a lot of people don't understand the value of money is only the return you can get on the money. That's it. So if I got $1 million. If I can get 8% on that, I make decisions based on that $80,000 a year. That's how you can start generational wealth, right? If you get a windfall from a house, you can win the lottery, anything like that. The value of that money is only the return which you can draw from it. That's it. So if I got $1 million in the bank, I got 8%, $80,000 a year, that's what I got to make decisions on. Because I can't touch that cow. I can't touch that principal, right? That's how we grow generational wealth. We can't touch the principal. We live off the return. So that's how I have to value it, is whatever the return is on it. Now, if it's 7%, maybe whatever the return is, that's how I have to make my life decisions. Now, if somebody gave me $80,000 a year and I wouldn't quit my job, then I can't quit my job because I got $1 million in the bank. Because that's how you have to see money. You have to see money like that. You have to see it as the return on what you can get. If I get $5,000 check, times it by nine percent, $450 a year. So that's I got to make decisions on that $450. If I got $400 a year, and I wouldn't make this decision, I can't make this decision because I got $5,000 in the bank. Because I make decisions based on the return. That's it. The $1 million, I don't even have it. I got to think like that, like she said, like a university endowment. That's a good point. Is I got to think just like that. And that's how we build generational wealth into the future. Because we can't see money like we've been trained all our life. We got $1 million, go out and spend it all. Now that's how you're going to end up losing your money. I promise you that. Because you can't see it like that. Money's value is only the return you get from it. That's it. And once you change your mind like that, now you can make better decisions, right? You can't spend it. You get $1 million in a lottery or whatever. The only value it is the return on that money. That's it, right? So let's talk about some ways. The three ways in which we're going to grow the generational wealth, right? So there's three things you got to do. One, you got to protect what you have. Right. And that's the first step. And that's the thing that, you know, but then nobody talks about that. Nobody mentions that. All they do is talk about investing in real estate, investment trust, invest in this, pass to your kids. Yeah, that makes sense. But you got to start with protecting what you got right now. And that includes life insurance, because if you're in your 20s right now, you can create generational wealth like that. All you got to do is take out a life insurance policy, $2 million, end up paying about $60 a month for the rest of your life. When you die, let's see, it has to be like $3 or $4 million. When you die, your kids got that money, right? Now all you got to do is teach them. If you're young enough, you can start doing that now. That life insurance policy right there, if you get it while you're young enough, You know, you can build generational wealth like that. But besides that, life insurance protects your family against a traumatic loss, right? Because if you're building up generational wealth, if you're trying to pass that wealth on to your kids, the worst thing that can happen is the main breadwinner dies or the secondary breadwinner. If somebody dies unprotected, that end of that generational wealth is over, right? And we got to think about life insurance the same way, because it's still money. So how much insurance do I need, right? I make $50,000 a year. I actually need about $5 million to be on, not about $4 million, life insurance, right? Because if I die, you got to put that money in the bank and draw the return on it to make that 50. Nah, it's really less than that. Because if I make 50, I'm sorry, I got the calculation wrong. I need about $1 million, because I gotta put that million in the bank, draw the 5% to replace my income, right? So that's how you got to see that too, the same way. You got to see it the same way, right? How much life insurance I need? Well, I make $80,000 a year, so I need about 1.2 at 5%, and that means that I can get that life insurance policy, put it in the bank, and draw on that money for the rest of my life, and then pass the principal to my kids, right? So you got to have that life insurance policy, right? You got to have a will and estate planning. Now, we talk about exit strategies. We talk about that in stocks. We talk about that in businesses, right? You always got to have an exit strategy. When you start something, you got to have a way to get out. Well, that estate planning, that will, is the ultimate exit strategy. That's how you get out, right? Because everybody has to get out eventually. We're all going to die, right? We're all going to die. So eventually, you got to have an exit strategy on that. You got to have a way that you're going to get out. You're going to get out by death. Everybody is. So the end's going to come for all of us. Well, we got to have that plan too. And then we got to plan past that. The ultimate chestnut checkers mentality is being able to plan past your own lifetime, right? So we may do 5-10 moves ahead. We can do 20 years ahead. Well, why not do 60 years ahead? Why not do 100 years ahead? Because if we do that, that's the ultimate chestnut checkers mentality. We're planning into our child's lives, into our grandkids' lives. That's what we got to get to in this, right? You got to name beneficiaries. A lot of people are lazy and forget to do that. Then when something happens to you, nobody knows who's supposed to get what. You got to make sure you have those beneficiaries lined up. And another thing, you got to make sure you got at least enough money to take care of yourself, right? Because that's the first step. You got to have, you can't be a burden on your kids. Now, if you can't get up enough money, right? You can't get up enough money to pass them wealth. Well, what you can do is you can protect yourself. So at least that they start off without having to help you out, without having to pay your medical bills, without having to take care of you. So at least take care of that. And we do that with insurance. We do that with estate planning. We do it by saving money, 6 months living expenses. So if something happens to us, we can get out of it, right? So that's how we protect that wealth, right? But after we protect it, there's something else we got to do. We got to grow it. Because we can protect it so much, but we got to grow it, right? Because we can only make so much money. We got time. Time is one of our biggest allies when you want to create wealth, right? Time. So if you're young, you got a lot of time. If you're young, you got a lot of time. And we do that pretty simple. We talk about it a lot in the mentorship program. The triangle of wealth at the top. We got income. We got business income. We got your own, what you get from a job, because I'm not one of those people who push you got to quit your job, because I mean, some people don't want to quit. They can build wealth, they can be entrepreneurs, but keep their main jobs, okay, right? So, but at the top of that triangle, you create money, you know, some kind of way, either through a business or through your job, right? So that money funnels down the triangle into real estate, investment, and stocks, and you know, stocks and bonds, right? So that's one way, right? We can invest in stocks, long-term stocks, you know, stocks that are going to stick around, stocks with, you know, the stocks, the companies that are going to grow a lot. We build our portfolio, you know, and some of those things we can pass down to our kids, right? Dividend producing stocks. We can build those up over our life. For those who don't know, dividend producing stocks pay you every month, quarter, or year that you hold that stock, right? So a lot of the rich, a lot of the elite, a lot of the wealthy use that strategy to pass money down to their kids, right? They'll hand their kids dividend producing stocks, right? So the kids got it. Remember, dividend producing stocks got a lower tax rate. And that's one reason why the rich get taxed lower. It's not because they're slick and coming up with all these, they do that too, but they're not coming up with all these tax loopholes. It's simple. Is that if you pass your kids a bunch of dividends producing stocks, dividend producing stocks, your kid can live off that, make his own income, $100,000, $200,000, whatever a year. And he's only gonna pay 20% at max because that's a dividend, it's a capital gain. So they tax you lower on that. So he don't have to pay, you know, all these taxes that everybody else pays, but he has an income. So dividend producing stocks are a great way to pass that wealth to your kids, right? So a lot of times people bomb throughout their life, they'll live on the dividends, build them up, and then they'll, when they die, they'll pass it to their kids, right? And a lot of people have done that over the last, you know, 50, 100 years, right? Investing in real estate, because you know real estate, especially with the population growing, real estate will always go up to a certain extent. Now it's gonna have short-term losses, short-term, but over the long-term, real estate's almost a no-brainer, right? Because every year more and more people on earth. Now, there's only so much land. There's only so much land. So with the population going up, with the land being limited, real estate is almost a no-brainer. Now you can get into real estate two ways, real estate investment trust or directly buying these real estate properties, but either way is good, either way is fine. Right? Saving money strategically, because I don't believe in saving money for no purpose, right? I don't believe in saving money without a purpose. I never have. I don't believe in that Dave Ramsey type thinking where you just save every dollar and you lock down and don't spend none, don't go to Starbucks, you know, because I want to live in abundance. I don't want to live like that. That's not life to me. And I think a lot of you guys will agree. Those Dave Ramsey people kind of freak me out. Those dudes are, man, they're like saving to the max. They don't want to spend nothing. They'll dog each other. If you went to Starbucks, oh my God, I get my coffee from home. I mean, what if I like Starbucks? What if that makes my life better? You know, I'm not saying to blow your money crazy, got 30 Louis Vuitton, but now that's a little to the extreme, you know? But if I want to stop at McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, I'm a go. I'm sorry, man, what am I working for, you know? What am I doing all this work for? What's the point? Like, I'm not saying go crazy and eat, you know, expensive steak dinners every night, but come on, man. I'm sorry. I don't believe in that. You know, I want to live in abundance. I want to live, you know, I want to be able to get what I want. I want to be able to drive what I want. I want to be able to live where I want. I don't want to live like that for 30 years, hoping that I, at the end, you know, maybe I'll live like that at the end. Nah, man, I'm not doing that. But we can save money strategically. We can save money strategically. We can, find better deals, you know, cut to our things in your life that like Uber Eats, right? Because one time I was doing that for a while and I realized it, man, Uber Eats is a ripoff, right? And I didn't really realize because I kept pressing the button every time I wanted something. End of the month, I'm like, man, didn't I have more money in this account? I looked at Uber Eats, man, it was like $1,000 a month. I was like, man, that was after 3 months of doing it. And I was like, oh man, I can't do this no more. And I stopped going on Uber Eats. Now that's the way that you save money strategically. Like cut out Uber Eats. Go, you know, another thing I do a lot of times is the Pizza Hut is right around the corner, man. If I order some pizza, I just go pick it up because I'm not paying $6 when I can just go down there and be back in 5 minutes, you know. So that's another way you can strategically save. The delivery charges, you know, stuff like that. You can't cut money and it doesn't cut into your lifestyle or cut into your quality of living. You know, like going up and picking up a pizza, me, you know, buying some stuff at the Dollar Tree. I still shop at the Dollar, I like the Dollar Tree. Family Dollar, Walmart, so good. That's not, you know, that's not going to really affect your lifestyle that much, but it is a way that you can cut costs. Cooking more is a good one, right? So cooking more instead of eating out every day, just cooking more, man. And, you know, things like that. There's a strategic ways you can save money, right? And we know that wealth also, you know, wealth comes from growing your money, but you got to save it too. Now I can't live a lifestyle of too much abundance, you know, where I spend every dollar I got. And I know people like that. I had a friend like that up in New York that was like that. He's every dollar. He made a lot of money too. I think him and his wife made together like, you know, $180,000, $200,000, which in New York is not a lot, but it's still a lot, even in New York. And they would spend every dollar they had on vacations, trips, you know, eating out every single day. I mean, they spend every dollar they had come in and sometimes they'd go over and have to use credit. Now, that's not going to get you. I don't care how much you make. You got to save something. You got to cut some. You can't spend every dollar that comes in. You got to save something, right? Another way is create a business to pass down. right? Because creating a business, and it has to be the right type of business, right? People get that confused all the time. It has to be the right type of business. It can't just be any old business, right? Because some businesses are burdens. And I told you guys a story of somebody that reached out to me about 6 months ago and wanted me to help her with her family business that was passed down to her. Now, it was a liquor store. It was a liquor store. And she, her family passed that liquor store down to her. Now, she called me almost in tears because every month she was going into debt. She was spending $70 a week at that job. She was in constant tears, constant stress. All because her family did not pass her a business. They passed her a job, a bad one at that. They passed her a bad job, right? That's not a business. A business works without your, with very little input from you. That's what a lot of people get confused about, business and a job, right? So a lot of people claim I got a business, but they're working 60 hours a week in that business. Now, at the beginning, that's okay. But after a while, that you shouldn't be working no more. You should already create processes. You should create systems. You should have employees. You should have a lot of things that takes you away from the work. If you're still there every day, 78 hours a week, that's a job. That's not a been out. Now, whatever you're making from the company is what you're getting paid for working at that company. You just happen to own it. It's still a job. So what we want to do is we want to pass our children businesses, passive income streams. A business is really completely realized if it's completely passive. No, you don't even have to show up. And that's what a real business is, right? A lot of people will never get to the, full realization of that, but you can get close to it, right? You may put in 10 hours, 5 hours, whatever, something small where your kid, a lot of times, maybe you have a business, your kid may not even want that. So you're basically, if you pass your kid a business that you have to work in every day, you're almost restricting your child from what they could be. Because you're basically locking them to a job that they have to do. And I felt so sorry for that young lady because she felt like she couldn't leave it because her family would be upset if she left the family business. But it was killing her, man, mentally and financially and stress-wise. It was killing her because her family passed down a horrible job instead of a business. Right? You don't want to burden your children like that. It also includes the proper legal structure, bank accounts, all of that stuff has to be immaculate. But yeah, that's why it's important to have a strategy when you start a business, because these things have to be in order, right? You have to have the proper legal structure, LLC, corporations, S Corp, C Corp. You got to have all that in order, right? When you pass to your kid, it's seamless. You got to have everything. You don't want to pass them any liabilities, pass them something else, pass them, anything like that. You want to make sure it's clean, simple, organized, and passive, right? That's what you want to pass to them, right? So after we're able to protect our wealth, we're able to create wealth through stocks, real estate investment trusts, dividend producing stocks, businesses. Now, that's the one last pillar. We got to make sure that we instill to create that generational wealth is the education, right? Because if we pass them this, we protect our own money, we pass them this generational wealth, this wealth, passive income streams, whatever. If our kids don't know how to manage it, you might as well not give them anything because they're going to lose it all anyway. So you got to make sure that you educate your kids from early on. And that's what I do with my son is always, every time I have a chance to explain a certain concept, I'll explain to him in a basic way so he can understand it. I'll build on it later on. Like, for example, I tell him, I say, look, man, I said, do you know people rent houses? He said, yeah. And I'll say, so what would you rather do? Would you rather have a house and you rent it out and use that money to pay for the next house? Or would you rather have to only pay for, the one house? Then, of course, the kid's going to say, yeah, that makes sense. But what you're doing is you're getting that information into the child's head. So now he's thinking, oh man, I can rent houses to pay for that next house. My kid's always coming up with new ideas, selling stuff. He did an art class the other day for all his friends and charged them all like $1 or something to take it. So it starts the thought process in his head, and he's thinking like man, what if I? Then one time, he's a little confused now, and I told him how interest works, and I had to explain it in a basic way. So I said, look, man, I said, would you rather work for your money, or would you rather give somebody $1 and they give you $2 back next year? He said, well, I'd rather give somebody a dollar and give me $2 back. I think I said like next week. Next week, you don't make it simple. Of course, you're not going to get them kind of returns, but we're trying to make it simple. He said, I'd rather give them a dollar and get it back next week, $2. And I said, yeah, that's how interest works. So you can loan money, you can invest in different businesses, and then when the business works, they'll give you more money back, right? So now he's coming up to me and said, hey, Poppy, if I give you $10, can you give me 20 back next week? I'm like, it don't work that way, man. And he's always coming up with these new ideas, man, now. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Because what you're doing is you're instilling in his brain that, you know, he's 8 years old. You're already telling him about it. So he's thinking. And that thought process is going to make him ask questions. And once he asks questions, that's your opportunity to explain these concepts and build on it, right? So every time it gets more, more, and more. And finally, he's 18. He already knows just as much as anybody else is 40, 50 years old, right? He already has a base. And you build onto it, right? You do it jokingly. You do it funny. You do it, you know, in different ways. But you let him know, man, that, you know, this is the way things are. You know, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this to build it up. This is the way people make money. You got to tell him that because, like, I didn't know that growing up. I didn't know a lot of these things. You know, I didn't know about stocks. I knew about stocks in a way because I used to play this video game called Stock. It was a Nintendo game. It was called something. I played that game when I was a kid, but I really didn't understand what I was doing. But I liked that game and I played it a lot. But I really didn't understand how stocks worked until I was in my 20s. When I met this guy and he just showed me everything. One of my first jobs, right? So he just laid it out to me, and I went to lunch with him every day, and he just talked about it every day. That's how I learned it. So I just wanted to lay out, you know, a plan, a blueprint right there. That's your blueprint for generational wealth, right? And it's pretty simple. Well, we can just go back over it. We can talk about you have to protect your wealth, and that's through insurance, you know, protecting your medical insurance, house insurance, all, you know, any type of insurance that can affect you or pull you down, right? Estate planning, right? Understanding how money works, changing your own mindset when it comes to money so you can make better decisions, right? And then once we do that, we grow our wealth, right? We do it through stocks, bonds, real estate, investments, and we grow it, right? Through dividend producing stocks, you know, in many ways. Business, we create businesses, passive income streams. And once that happens, we finally have to teach our children about generational wealth and wealth in general, because they are the ones that's going to inherit that, and they have to understand money the same way, like, we, you know, money's real worth, how you judge money, how you make decisions. They have to understand all that because they're going to take your money, and if they don't do it right, then your grandkids aren't going to get the money. So that's part of the strategy, part of the chestnut checkers mentality on that. So that's a perfect blueprint on generational wealth. Now, a lot of people talk about it, but nobody actually lays out a blueprint. Nobody, right? Now, I haven't seen anybody. You know, people talk about it because it's a buzzword. You know, it gets a lot of likes. Everybody's talking about it now. People are, you know, it's something that's fun. It's something that's cool. It's a hot topic right now. It's trending. So people love talking about it, right? But nobody ever talks about how to do it. Nobody ever lays it out. Nobody ever, oh, generational wealth, this, that, and other, but they never lay it out for you. So I figured I would lay it out for you guys. Now, I'm not, you know, you can't take anything I said, you know, this is just to get you thinking, to get you to understand it, right? I want you guys to go out, like I always say, and figure it out on your own, right? Don't take some crazy dude on the internet telling you all this stuff, because I may not be right. So you got to go out and find this information on your own. Find the pieces, find the right professionals. Put them in your life. You know, you may need to talk to a lawyer. You may need to talk to a financial advisor. You may have to talk to different people. And you got to create this plan for yourself. Right? So don't listen to me. Don't listen to anybody. You find out for yourself. Right? You make sure that you do the right things. Right? This is so you can start thinking, like with my son. Right? I tell you these things because I'm implanting thoughts in your head so you will think and you will grow. And then you go out and learn on your own. You go out and bring people into your life. You go out and plan things on your own with the right professionals, right? And that's what I'm trying to do. The same thing with my son, right? As I put these ideas in his head, and I want him to think, to grow, to figure out ways. And he comes, you know, ask questions, you know, what he may, you know, I want him to grow past where I'm at, right? So that's what I want for you guys. I want you guys to be better than where I'm at today. I want you guys to grow past me. I want you guys to be better than where I'm at, you know, like I said. It's like my son. I want my son to be better than where I'm at today. Same thing. What's a stable way of getting passive income? Well, it's pretty, that's a lot of ways to get passive income, man. The people just don't see, man. It's a lot of ways to do that, right? We talked about that Etsy idea a while back. Some people are already making money on that. Like, if I was down, like I didn't have nothing, right? And I've done this several times in my life, so I know it's possible. And I do it all, you know, I've done this at several points in my life. I'm even doing it now with another business, a small business I'm working on, you know, as like a hobby. But it's always opportunities to sell stuff online. You know, whether it's eBay, Etsy, or whatever, it's always an opportunity. And it's pretty simple. What I've done in my entire life, whenever I was hard up for money, from college on to, you know, when I was, you know, first starting out, then another time when I was unemployed, I've always made money online. And it's pretty simple, man. All you got to do is just find out what's selling and just figure out, you know, and sell it and sell the same thing. That's it. Find out what a trend is, you know, on Etsy or whatever. Go to Etsy and look at what the hottest selling products are, right? And then just make a duplicate. Now, I'm not saying copy somebody's work or something, but make it, you know, whatever's the hottest selling thing, start selling that also. It's pretty simple to do. I don't know why more people don't do it, right? So I'm not saying you're gonna make millions of dollars, but you can make a passive income stream, right? Like just like that. Pretty simple. There's a lot of other ways, right? And I know it's one way that people are. Another way that people don't know, right? Now that's what I don't understand is that I got classes that I sell, right? You guys know that. But there's some people making passive income streams just, you know, reselling my classes. I got an affiliate program. So you just tell your friends about it and you get, you know, a passive income stream. And not just me, there's a lot of affiliate programs like that. There's one called app.impact. That's an affiliate network. And you can make money just by, you know, telling people about this, that, to download this app. There's one on there that's a business app. And every time somebody downloads, you get $8. Right, and it's called Impact Network. That's an affiliate network. And they'll give you $8 every time you get somebody to download an app. Every time you get somebody to download this, I can tell you something right now. And that's what I'm saying. It's so many ways to make money, man. It's so many ways. And I give you, it's affiliate networks out there, right? And these affiliates will give you a link, and every time somebody downloads an app, they'll give you $8, $10. So you get two people, three people a week. That's $150 a month right there. Just giving people a link. And I've done that in the past. And that's pretty, you know, especially on social media. If you got 1,000 people on your social media total, on your Facebook, whatever, you can make money like that. The affiliate network, right? You can use it. I got an affiliate program, but there's other affiliate programs out there that pay you just, you know, $8, right? There's another one. Let me see. I'll tell you something that I know about. It's called Impact Network. So every time somebody signs up for Swagbucks, you get $3.50 every time somebody puts their email in. Swagbucks is an app where you do different quizzes and stuff and you get paid for it, or you know, put in what you scan your receipts in. Every time you get somebody to sign up for that, you get $3.50. You know, you can get people to sign up for that all day. There's some $8. There's some $10. There's one on Postmates. You get somebody to sign up for Postmates, you get $30. Yeah, so if you want those links, man, it's just Impact. Just look up Impact Network. Impact Network. And that's a way you can make. You can start making passive income right then. And you could do, like I said, you could do a bunch of things, right? And it's a lot of ways to make money out there. A lot of ways, right? And people just don't, you know, their minds are shut down. We talk about that concept of there being a mental block, right? Is that we build a wall around ourselves, right? So we build, it's like people give us the bricks. Our family, friends, they throw these bricks at us. You can't do this, or focus on your kids, that's a dream. Don't ever do that. They give you these bricks. They throw bricks at friends, family, people that are close to us. And we take those bricks and we build a wall around us. Build a wall around us so we can't see past that wall. And then we're stuck in we focus on the things that are within this wall, circular wall around us. And that's how we live our lives, right? We can't see over the wall. And some of the wall, some people have a tighter wall, some people have a wider wall, but it's still a wall. And And we're afraid to break down that wall because we don't know what's on the other side. So we won't even take the first step of taking one brick out. That's how we think, see the world. We're scared, you know, we're all these things, you know, all that money and stuff is on the other side, but we don't know because we never stepped outside that wall, right? But the good thing is that all it takes is somebody to take that first positive step. What I mean by that is that you walk up to that wall and you remove one brick, right? And a lot of people can't do that because it's scary. You don't know what's on the other side. It could be monsters, anything. You don't know. So you're too busy surviving, head down. That's a good point. Head down. You don't have time to go pull bricks out of walls. But once you break, you convince yourself, look, man, I'm going to stop being afraid. I'm going to take one of these bricks out so I can see what's on the other side. So you walk up to the wall, you take a brick out. And now you can see what's on the other side. Now you can't get to it because the wall's there. But once you see it, then you start taking all the bricks down because you start working. Because once you've been able to see it, once you've made that first positive step of taking that one brick out, now you know that there's beautiful, you know, pastures on the other side. So now, once you see it, now you can't get to it yet, but you've tasted it. You can smell it. You can see it. You can feel it. So now that first step is what a lot of people won't take, that some people will take it. That first step, that's why that first step is so important. Because once you take that first step, pull that brick out, you can see it. So once you see it, your confidence is up. You know that you can get it. You know that you can get over there. So you start taking all the bricks down. Pretty soon, the entire wall is down. But money's out there. It's easy to get. It's everywhere. And like I said, we've been taught that money is scarce because that's just the way, you know, we've been taught. But money is plentiful. It's abundant. It's everywhere. Everybody got money. You know, everybody don't have gold. Everybody don't have Bitcoin. Everybody don't have diamonds. But everybody has, literally every person in the United States has at least a dollar. Every single person has some form of money in their pocket. Money is plentiful. We just see it as scarce for some reason. Money is everywhere. It's more money than anything else. But for some reason, we see it as scarce. Right? Because where we come from, you know, how we were raised, you know, that mental block that we built around us. Right? So I'm gonna let you guys get to your rest of your day. Hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for joining and sleep well.